Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, William Mose, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Pride. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It's Sean Black in the building once again.
And on the other line, I have the lovely and talented Lady T.
Hey.
Well, tonight will be a short show because I have a sick daughter, and I'm just not in myself tonight for some reason. So we know what the topic is. Let's get right into it. But first, it was just funny on last week on the menu, right here on Blog Talk Radio, we was talking about athletes, you know, the role models they should be, and all this other stuff. And I mentioned the good side and the bad side of athletes. You know, Michael Vick. What was the athlete name, Sean, on the Ravens that hit his goal? Ray Rice, yes. So we're talking about those athletes and on the negative impact they have on the black community. And as always, it never fails. Sean Black and I, we go over our topics, and I'll rub it into Sean's finger, like, yes, I have one topic for Lady T. I will get her back for everything, you know. But Sean and I always agree there's always weight. Because every time we put out our topic, something happens. And boom, for example, yesterday, of course, you know, everyone know, the sudden death, the tragic helicopter accident that killed 9 people, including NBA legend Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, Gianni. Okay, I'll call this the 9/11 of NBA. Why? Because it shocked the world. And it was like a big impact. People was Googling, texting like crazy. When Sean told me the announcement, when someone told me that someone died, I always had to Google it. Just to make sure, because you know, sometimes we get hoax of celebrities or athletes dying, which is not. So once you Google something or go to TMZ to confirm it, and you still be like, wow, you just still can't believe it. So I'm sure we may or may not have a lot to say, but Lady, I'll start with you. What do you have to say about this tragic death of Kobe Bryant?
I'll let Sean get into the details first.
Go ahead, Sean.
Well, as far as the details go, I think the media has probably done a lot of the details ahead of time, but just for those that may not have heard it, because it's been on nonstop television, radio, internet since it broke, we know that a helicopter that crashed in Calabasas, California. 9 people involved, like Hot Rod said. Kobe Bryant, along with his daughter Gianna, among the others that were on there, including another basketball coach, and I believe his daughter as well, another coach's wife who was on there, and the pilot, everybody that was in the helicopter perished, unfortunately. We know that when we hear about tragedies when it comes to these kinds of things, it's we always look at when we do this show, which is kind of like a microcosm of the way the world is right now. Usually what we do is we deal with current event topics, things that are pertinent to a lot of people. And what I think we try to do is try to talk about certain topics, how they connect to people that listen, their opinions, et cetera, et cetera. Kobe Bryant passing is almost like it's probably one of those things where when you used to hear back in the day, do you remember where you were when? This is kind of one of those kinds of events, one of those kinds of things. I got the text message from a mutual friend of ours that showed a screenshot from TMZ. And as you stated, the first thing that pops in the head, oh, come on now. This is like, you know, when people used to say, oh, Bob Barker passed away, and, you know, Bob Barker was just on television talking about something. Or, you know, all of the myriad rumors of somebody passing away when there's no verified proof that it happened. Then, as Hot Rod said, he did the same thing that I did. I was like, okay, let me just check this out. Let me just Google this. So I get on Google. Then I noticed one news source jumped on it. Then another jumped on it. Then another jumped on it. I said, well, maybe they're jumping on the wrong story. I went on TMZ site. And then for some reason, the story had been ripped off the site for like a couple of minutes, and then it went back up. I said, well, maybe they're verifying a source. Then I go back and look at, I believe I was looking at ESPN, and then they talked about it. Then and I was like, okay, this is just a little bit too much. So now with all of that out of the way, the impact of it and the fact that somebody who we all know about the accolades of what he did in his career, we all know this was going to be the year that he was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame because he was eligible at the beginning of this year to go into the Hall of Fame. So we're not even going to talk about his on-the-court stuff. It was the second chapter of his life that he was getting ready for. He's only 41 years old. He just started to get into that. And having four children and a wife and getting into the things that he was getting into, it's tragic because a lot of that will not even be realized. And he had to grow into the role that he became. We all know about the things that he did going into the NBA as a teenager being drafted. We all know about the incident that happened in Colorado where all of those things happened. He had to grow through that incident where the potential accusation of rape, you know, all of the things that happened, having to go past and try to get through that, trying to save his marriage, trying to find his love for the game. He eventually matured through all of those things that he went through to get to where he was at. And I think a lot of people are now, they're so sad that what has happened to somebody so young with a family and knowing that he had potentially so many different things he was ready to get into and to further. And I think that's where so many people are devastated about this.
Okay, thank you, Lady T.
Condolences to the families and Kobe Bryant family as well that was involved in this. From a lot of the news reports that they're, you know, doing an investigation, obviously, on how the crash happened. You got witnesses who actually live over there by Calabasas that actually saw, like, you know, they said it was like a milky fog as thick as milk. So sometime this evening they, you know, gave you clips of the I guess when they were calling the control, telling them, you know,
get the dispatch,
yeah, what,
the
right, right, what to do and so forth. Yeah, I just feel like it's gonna be more to be investigated in this situation, especially that it's only three bodies thus far that they got recovered and so forth. But in aspect to his life and things like that, like Sean said, 41, that's very, very, very young. His daughter was very young, 13, and the other girls on the plane as well was very young as well. And they were all going to, you know, the basketball game to play a tournament with his league. So it's something that he's also been invested in. I grew up in the era when Kobe was coming up and play full court basketball with the guys. We didn't have separate basketball courts in the park where you could say, oh, girls play over there. No, I was playing with guys, okay? So you had, you know, Penny Hardaway. You had Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and things like that. And this is who both females and males idolized. So it was nice to see his work that was being done with his daughter and his passion for it. Because I remember in many interviews, he said after retiring from basketball that he wasn't even going to the games as much or watching it as much. But then when his daughter found that interest, that's what reeled him back in pretty much. So to see the work and the inspiration that he did as far as with young girls, like we would look up to Lisa Leslie versus a Kobe Bryant. You get what I'm saying? But
yes,
when you
yes.
take that gender factor out of there and it's like equal because we're all playing the same kind of game. You understand what I'm saying? So that was nice to see his passion in that. Don't forget, since he was like in the league at 17, 18, whatever it was, he was helping with the homeless and his things outside of, you know, outside of just basketball.
Exactly. And even what you were saying as far as the gender part of it, he actually championed basketball for young girls and women because he
exactly.
saw the same, that same killer instinct and gift athletically that he had, he noticed in his daughter. And he was there to nurture it. That's why he ended up becoming a coach. Becoming her coach, showing her all of the things that he would do. And it was basically, he had somewhat fallen out of love with the game. It was his daughter and noticing his daughter being into basketball and showing how good she was. He had rediscovered his love for the game through her. And that was one of the things that he was talking about. And he talked about how, look, at this point, There are different, so many women that are in the WNBA that could actually compete on an NBA level because the talent is that good. And these are the kinds of things that Kobe was doing outside of the athletic part of it. And the man did children's books. The man won an Oscar for
and
a short animation
for his
series.
Short swim. And that's another thing with the poem, I forgot what it's called, Love for Basketball, it may be. I don't want to quote it wrong. So whatever the case is, it's like, I don't want to say he was like preparing for his legacy, but you can tell when you're looking back now and reflecting on it, like, we never know when our time is going to be. And what that made me look at is, what do you want your legacy to be? God forbid anything was to happen to you tomorrow. How would you like to be remembered? Because you have people all around the world that's crushed, people that don't know him. There's people that saying, oh, well, you didn't know him, so how can you feel that way? It's not about the body. You didn't know the body, but you could feel the soul. And that's my point. And that was, you can tell the passion and the caring. And I guess when he approached people, they can feel that. And sorry to say, I don't want to say it's a Virgo thing, but it's a Virgo thing, guys. Sorry to tell you that. And he was a Virgo.
Well,
I don't want to go into the signs, but.
Yeah, you keep your signs to yourself. Peace out. Oh, but besides that, let's go to, I have three more callers. Phil, what'd you get? Nice, quiet background. I will go back to you, Phil. But let's go to 347-296. Go ahead. Hello? Before saying, oh, did I meet this person? Oh, Phil. I don't know what I'm doing here. Phil? Yeah, I'm missing everybody here?
This is one of those days where it doesn't seem like anything is going right today, I guess.
Nope. Okay, Phil should be on, and 347 should be on, and Kato should be on.
Hello?
Am I on?
Oh, yes.
Hello?
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 Rima's
yeah,
in the house.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, Rima's in the house. Phil's in the house.
What's up, Rima?
Okay.
What's up, everybody?
Hello, Rima. We start with you, ladies first. Go ahead. What do you like to say?
I just wanted to, you know, I'm an NBA fan, not necessarily a Kobe fan, because he beat all the teams that I love. However,
tell me about it, girl.
I want to say this though, as a fan, as an opponent fan, as a fan of the opponent team, right? I feel like I always hated Kobe Bryant because he always beat my team, but that even as the opponent's fan, you have this level of respect and love for Kobe Bryant because he beat your team, because he's so good. Because when you have three of your teammates defending him and he goes for that three-pointer near the half court and still needs to end it, there's no way anybody could be mad at that, you know? So I'm really feeling for his fans, his family, his friends, and just this universe. That, you know, this is a spiritual lesson and awakening to us all, especially those who think that life is really, eternal or something. Some people are so shocked that they don't realize, like, death is going to come to us all, you know, unfortunately, or it is what it is.
And go ahead, Phil. Phil, the Fisherman Fisher.
Hey, listen, it's still shocking. It's still, you know, it's still devastating.
But why?
You know, but
people die every day. Why are we still shocked and, like, crazy about this one? Celebrity dies all the time. Why is this one considered as the 9/11 of the NBA?
I think it is because of the of who he was, you know, and, you know, who he was. You know, just not on the court, off the court. I mean, this was relatively a good person. You know, he was doing right, you know, he was doing right by his family, right by his daughter. That's the type of person he was. And for him to die so young, it's even that's what makes it even more somewhat shocking. But overall, you know, He earned respect all around the country, not just from his peers, but every other sport as well. And this was just someone that truly, you know, took the sports world and, you know, he made it his own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just got to say, this is tragic. It's very tragic. What I could say about Kobe Bryant, and watching him as a player, you know, you saw competitiveness. He was competitive. He was and of course he loved the game. His heart and soul was into the game, you know, and he gave it all he got. Even when he was injured, he still played. And this was someone who also loved his family. And you know, as he after his retirement, his main focus was his family, and the way that, you know, through ups and downs. I mean, everybody goes through the ups and downs, but he loved his wife, and he loved his children. He was a husband and a father, and you know, knowing that his daughter had inherited the talent of playing basketball, and being that he opened up that program, opened up that school just to coach a girls' basketball team. And, of course, the 7 lives that were taken, of course, yesterday. This is a reminder, you know, that, you know, tomorrow's never promised to anyone. And, therefore, you know, when you're living life, you must live life every day as if it was your last.
All right. As I told Sean earlier, this morning, I'm guaranteed someone will do this. With every positive, there's always a negative in
mm-hmm.
life. Of course, with Kobe Bryant, as you guys described, all the great things that he did, of course, it did not take, not even 24 hours, someone had to bring up something that happened in the past. Of course, the rape charges that happened in Colorado.
Right, which he was acquitted of.
Acquitted of, but is it right to bring something from the past? I'm like, basically, for what Kobe Bryant did, is it right to bring something from the past to tarnish his career, his legacy? Rima? Are you still there, Rima? Okay, Sean?
I think in looking at Kobe's career, forget about just the actual career, but everything involved, the totality of who he is, I think the narrative can be used to show how he had matured after that. We've seen so many athletes go through so many different things, and you usually want to see, because it's in the public eye, how do they
right.
bounce back after an accusation, a drug charge, something along those lines. It took a while, but eventually that did clear itself up, and then he was able to mature himself long after the charge had been made, and then he was able to continue to realize, as I had stated earlier, what he could have lost in his family. So as far as him being the person that we know him as, and for those that look at this, don't take for granted how important he is on a worldwide stage, not just in America. Kobe was really huge in China and in the Asian markets. As a matter of fact, a lot of the reason why the NBA and basketball as a whole, outside of Yao Ming being as popular as he was when he came into the NBA, a lot of that was because of Kobe Bryant, where a lot of his brand is huge in Asia. And he has a scale everywhere. So I think that's part of the totality of his story being told, which can show you, even with the past that you're talking about, his brand was not harmed in the sense that you would have thought it something like that would have.
Okay, Lady T?
No, I don't have anything else to say.
All right. Phil?
Yeah, I agree with what Sean had said. He just wasn't, you know, just here in America. He was known around the world. He made the, you know, he was one of the peers that got the NBA rolling overseas, and that's why we see these games that are being played overseas these days. But and I believe I was also reading that he grew up in Italy, and they were doing some sort of moment of silence for him for a week. And this is what I was reading today. And you know, when you talk about the past, I think part of his maturing, you know, from after the incident was, you know, I'm sure he surrounded himself with the right people.
Of course,
and that has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah. To make to apologize and talk about it, it was like I was just showing right before the show. That's a sign of maturity because. Despite of what happened, we may never know the full story, of course. But if Big Ben had done it, Big Ben had an accused of rape, well, God forbid his time passed the same way, they would not have talked about it. They don't talk about how great he was, blah, blah, blah. We're not even mentioning a rape case at all. But why Kobe Bryant right away, not even 24 hours?
You know,
don't answer to that, right? Go ahead, K-Dog.
Right, just to tarnish him. Because, listen, Kobe... And the thing that when that incident took place, Kobe was man enough to show up with his wife at his side, to show up with his wife Vanessa at his side. He admitted that it was wrong, but it also gave him a chance to redeem himself to his wife. And you know, he made up for it. And you know, he took responsibility to repair the marriage, to repair his marriage to his wife. You know,
and he was never charged for rape, so...
He was never... Yeah, he was acquitted of it because, you know, come to find out, the girl lied. It was consensual.
Yes, you know, there's always going to be people, no matter what you say or what you do, are going to bring up the past. It's just how it is.
Yeah, that's people for you. They love to live in the past. I mean, just, you know, he was acquitted and he was never charged. And plus... The girl lied about it anyway. You know, she thought she was going to get money. But
that's what it all stemmed
from. That was the thing. We don't know what really happened. Kobe admits something happened. He admits it was consensual. And I do believe that. We don't know the full logic behind it. And it happened long ago, too.
But he was man enough, and he grew after that. And, you know, Kobe... His goal was just to, be with his family. Again, his family came first. His wife and his children came first. That was the true. That's what he loved the most. And even after his retirement from the game, and which, by the way, his last game, I mean, it was phenomenal that he scored 60 points in his last game. His family was
Please,
right
I
there.
Remember I remember that night because you
yeah.
had him, you know, with his final game. And over on the other channel, you had the Warriors, you know, breaking that record. And I think nobody even cared about it. Everybody was just watching Kobe's
no.
final game.
Yeah, it was. It was phenomenal. Kobe's final game was really phenomenal.
I mean, look what he did. He had a 61-point game at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Back in 2009. Yes, he did.
Which, I know that record was later broke by Melo, but that's besides the point. But he overall was just he was a good player overall. Whether it was
yes.
getting points in the paint or shooting the three, when they needed him to be clutch, he was clutch.
And it also goes to show you, to your point, Phil, this shows you, for those that actually do watch basketball, for those that are Knicks fans, and for those that have been to the Garden,
mm-hmm.
there are really only three players that the visiting teams can come in, and you will almost never hear the boos toward that opposing player. One was Michael Jordan. One is, as you can tell, Kobe Bryant. And the other one you can tell based on just how it sounded was, and the name just escapes me. When you hear the crowd cheer for a particular player, MVP chants, standing
mm-hmm.
ovations,
right?
You don't get that in the Garden in New York. When you get a certain type of player that comes in, the New York fans will show love and respect for anybody that comes in that deserves that respect.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like me, I deserve that respect at the Garden, without a doubt.
You know,
oh, God.
And yesterday proved a lot because when the announcement came in, players, some players couldn't even concentrate. They couldn't even stay focused on the game. I mean, even yesterday, as the Knicks.
Kyrie Irving, he left.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving. Yeah, Kyrie Irving just left. He couldn't even play.
He could. I'm sure we all saw they had the photo of a LeBron James when he found out what was going on. When he found out, you saw what he looked like, you know, coming off the plane from L.A. Tiger Woods wasn't all shock. Because he couldn't understand it first.
I saw the Tiger Woods thing when it happened live because I was flipping through the channels and actually saw he was playing in a golf tournament on Sunday. And on the 18th hole, he was done for the day. His caddy actually broke the news to him as he was walking
yeah.
off the 18th hole. Oh. He didn't know anything was going on, and he had stated that people that were there were saying, you know, do it for Kobe, and they were wondering, well, what are they talking about? And then it was told what happened, and he was like, you can see
in total shock.
That it took a while for it to process for him.
Okay, but to Lady T, now we're talking from a parent point of view. How can you talk to each? Everybody was going on social media like, you don't live your life, you live your life, life is so young. Ryan this morning was asking me questions about Kobe Bryant. And I did not know how to explain it to him. And then when he went to school today, you know, kids around 5, 6, 7 years old, they say the craziest thing. And Ryan, my son, told me that, yeah, his so-so friend was on the helicopter with Brian, Kobe Bryant, but he jumped out and he's still alive. And I'm like, Brian, that's not exactly what happened. But overall, how did he... How can you explain to your kids about this type of moments overall?
And kids will be kids, so you just explain it to them the best way that you can for their age, for their level of understanding.
And also, what about living your life?
Hmm?
Sorry.
I didn't hear what the question was.
I'm sorry. I'm sure when Kobe was on that helicopter, as a parent, as a father, you see the helicopter about to go down, he probably hold on to his daughter and close the daughter's eyes. And, you know, I think people say Kobe died twice on that day. Once as a father, once as a human being. But being that helicopter, not knowing there's not a thing you could do to save your child really hurts. Now talk about the daughter aspect. Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
I think in general, that's probably why this feels as bad for many people as possible, because there are lots of people that are parents, so that they could empathize in a situation like this. And the first thing that they would be thinking of, and I talked to my cousin who has three children, and we conversed over this thing. Well, you know, I can imagine being in a helicopter with my child, knowing something is going to happen. What would I be doing? What would I be saying to comfort them? You always have that mindset. If you are with your child or your children, and you're always there to shield them from bad and protect them, but there's really no way to protect them from something that you know potentially will be it. If there's any solace in the situation, is the fact that I think most people can take out of this is the fact that he was there with his daughter, and I think everybody is thinking that he was trying to as it happened.
You know, my brother was just talking about reading, you know, the articles about Kobe Bryant with the helicopter and the bad weather. Didn't JFK Jr. also die in the same situation? Bad weather.
Yes.
The plane took off
very
anyway.
Similar. The plane was flying in a rain. Yes. It was raining really hard when JFK was in, and JFK actually was a pilot. I believe he was flying the plane with his wife in it at the time.
Yes.
That also brings me, you know, with what I mean, if they knew the weather was, you know, the conditions, why did they still fly? I mean,
because from what
I mean,
heard,
they
got permission from the tower, that it was okay to fly. I guess because, you know, Kobe Bryant, we're going to say no.
Well, you know what else, too? The fact that the helicopter was flying extremely low. It was flying very low. Dangerously low.
Dangerously low, and they couldn't – radar could – from what I was reading, they said the radar was – they were flying under radar.
Yeah. They were flying under – and even the radar was wondering what was going on because it slammed in – because – when it slammed into the mountain, I mean, it's fog and, you know, you're flying low. So it's too late to avoid the collision that was coming. So it's just very tragic what happened. It's just a tragic situation. Very tragic.
Very.
Very tragic.
You know, getting back
to the seven people that were killed and, you know, you had a coach, you had parents that were on there and their kids, and it's
even more so. The husband of the woman, one of the female coaches, I believe, that was on the plane, he was actually doing an interview on one of the morning news programs, and it was just too much. There was a lot of moving parts to this story.
He's a father.
One of the other people on the plane was a baseball coach who I believe used to coach Jeff McNeil and Aaron Judge.
From what I
also read.
And
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask you guys from a player perspective, do you ever sometimes imagine what could have been if the Charlotte Hornets never traded Kobe to L.A. for Vlade Divac? How do you think that would have turned out?
Oh, well, Charlotte would have been top because, look at...
Not necessarily. I disagree. I disagree.
He would have found a
real
team as a free agent at some point or forced a trade. He just did not want to be in Charlotte.
I don't think Charlotte would have made a way because any team could have a great player, but surrounded by a bunch of sucky players, you know.
Right.
And it had to be the right teammates. It had to be the right organization. And that's what helped.
But Kobe also had some great players on his team. He had a great supporting cast of players.
Oh, Shaquille O'Neal was the big man on campus.
Yes.
He was the big help. Then they also have. I think they had gotten Robert Horry after he had played in Houston. I know they had him on the team.
Rick Fox, there was a bunch.
The game was starting to change back in those days.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? What basketball was basketball? Was defense? Was defense back then? Is that all about the offense?
When there was
right
competitiveness,
now?
There was competitive, and you know it was very competitive. It was very competitive.
Yeah, just look at the Knicks and Bulls rivalries back in the 90s.
Right.
You want to talk
competitive. And so. What Kobe brought to the game, see, everyone talks about great players. Right? Like, we could all talk about the great players of our generation. We could talk about Michael Jordan. But we also have to say that Kobe Bryant, when he came in, and mind you, Kobe Bryant came in at the time when Jordan's career was nearing its end. And Kobe became the man. You know, Kobe became the man. And everyone, no matter, and like you said earlier, people boo players, but you know what? They weren't booing Kobe.
No. And,
it's like that, let me tell you, as a New Yorker, as a New York sports fan, you know, as you allude to, you know, when you have these great players that get these standing ovations when they deserve it, it's not just in the NBA, it's also in the other major sports. I mean, I remember I was watching a Rangers game, and this was the year before they won the Stanley Cup, and Mario Lemieux and the Pittsburgh Penguins came into the Garden, and Mario Lemieux scored 5 goals, and I think it was off of Mike Richter. And in the third period when they announced it, I mean, the man just got a standing ovation from the New York Ranger fans, and that shows you.
Yeah.
You know, the type of player he was. I mean, you do sorts of things like this, you're going to get our respect. I mean, there's no way around it.
Oh, true. And for the record, Kobe Bryant takes the helicopter to games because he hates driving in L.A. where there was traffic.
Yeah.
The main times, traffic been so bad in L.A. that he had missed school plays and games. He vowed to try his best to never miss, so that's why he ended up taking helicopters from point A to point B.
He's been flying in helicopters for almost 20 years now. So this is nothing new with him.
Yeah, because you see, that's how much he valued his family. Because you know you don't want to miss any moment of your family. You don't.
No, but he missed so many previously while playing for the NBA. Now he has free time. Got to take advantage of it.
And that was the thing. And he was about to live his, you know, he was looking forward to the post-retirement. And this was a moment for him, especially coaching his daughter's basketball team. That was something that he really looked forward to.
I will tell you, I think at some point in the future, I think he would have eventually come back maybe to be a head coach in the NBA and possibly maybe a head coaching the Lakers at some point in the future, but...
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't see that.
I honestly believe, this is just my personal opinion, this will be like my final thought on this. I think that his idea was if he was going to do other things, at some point I think he was going to eventually buy the Lakers.
Yeah.
I think that at some point...
I think
but also he really wanted to coach the youth. He really wanted to coach the young people. That was the thing that he really wanted.
But I don't think it was going to happen as soon as everybody thought. I think he had so many other facets that he was going into, his production company and everything. And I think that's what he was headed at. He was in the same mindset as what LeBron was doing. He knew what he wanted to do when his playing career was over. He had a plan, and he was doing other things that had, in a lot of instances, had nothing to do with basketball, but basketball had nurtured the road for him to be able to go in that direction.
Well, okay. Well, a couple of minutes left to the show. Any final thoughts about this sad topic of tonight?
Well,
I do understand that the Empire State Building was lit in gold and purple tonight.
Yeah.
And so was the guard.
And the guard, yeah, I saw that last night too.
What I wanted to say is this, is that Kobe left behind a great legacy in the NBA. And, you know, it's nothing to be forgotten. Kobe Bryant will never be forgotten because, remember, this is a man who won 5 championships, 18 All-Stars. And, like I said, his love for the game, I mean, watching him play was just something else. Like, wow, man, look at the skills this guy's putting up. You know, even when he was hurt, he was still shooting. He was still playing. You know, he truly loved the game, man. You know, we lost the legend.
Okay.
The legend.
And, of course, I love telling people this story, and I told this on Brother B's show last week. As a true New York Knicks fan, I'm not going to lie, I could not stand Kobe Bryant. I hated him. As a sports fan, not personally, because he killed us, let's be honest. And if I'm arrogant, well, Larry, Sean, and the rest of you guys said, you know, people change, people mature. And last year, when I met Kobe Bryant, I was hesitant to, you know, go up to him. But the minute I went up to him, we talked for like a good 20, 30 minutes, and he was like a BFF to me. He was so cool, down to earth. I was amazed. I'm like, wow, this is Kobe Bryant? This is the Knicks killer? Nah, I can't be. It was like, wow, there's a difference between an athlete on the court and person. And that's what I said last week. People forget that athletes are human too, sometimes. And I was happy to meet that, to have that moment with Kobe. You know, he was with me and my colleague, he was like, chilling with all of us. But, you know, some athletes, let's be honest, they're a bunch of a-holes or have egos, don't want to be bothered. But this is an NBA legend, Kobe Bryant, down to earth. I would never think that way. I'm happy to tell this story. And on that note, sorry for the sad, unorganized topic. And this show tonight. You know, like I told Sean earlier, I didn't want to do the show, but I feel like we have to say something. Next, we'll be going back to cussing each other out and listen to K-Dog kissing up to me and Sean all the time and all that good stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Lord have mercy.
Come on. I was throwing
Rod, you are so full of yourself. Dude, you are so full of yourself. You know that.
You're just realizing that right now?
Oh, no, Sean, we've known this for over, 20-some-odd years?
Over 25 years, man.
When I'm gone, you guys will be crying so much like, you know, the Howard was the best asshole that I ever know in my lifetime.
No,
you're welcome,
okay?
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in tonight to the Absolute Truth. Phil, K-Dog, Rima, Lady T, and, Sean Black, number one Trump's lover. I mean, number one Trump supporter. Thank you all, and have a good night. And as always, go ahead. A pleasure.
It was all yours.